Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On August 16th, the Democrat Congress and the President signed a $750 billion spending bill called the Inflation Reduction Act. And that's what I'd like to speak about for the next 25 minutes. At the end of 2021, the Democrats tried to pass their Build Back Better spending bill, but with the other two extra spending bills that year, a third bill was too much for the public to stomach. But they wanted this spending bill passed in order to give billions to their constituency. I know that sounds very cynical, but that's really what this is all about. Handing out money to special interest groups that support the party, a whole new class of people who live off of government salaries and grants. Don't be naive. This is what these spending bills are all about. And the Democrats wanted this bill passed before the midterm elections because they knew if the Republicans win seats in the Congress, this spending bill will never see the light of day. So they rushed it through this summer. And the Democrats rebranded their Build Back Better bill by calling it the Inflation Reduction Act. Hey, the polls say that people are concerned with inflation, so let's just change the name of the bill to the Inflation Reduction Act. There are politicians and staffers who sit in back rooms who know nothing about economics, but they come up with marketing slogans for programs. Now, from a purely economic perspective, there is nothing in this bill that has anything to do with reducing inflation. This bill was not crafted for the purpose of reducing inflation. It was crafted for the purpose of more Democrat special interest spending. It was labeled the Inflation Reduction Act for appearance sake. The Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, the bipartisan arm of Congress that determines the cost and economic benefits of legislative bills, put out a report that stated that the inflation reduction bill will do nothing to reduce inflation. So the title was pure propaganda. Now, someone might say that's good marketing, but God calls it a lie, deception. Does this sound familiar? It happened to ancient Israel in her apostasy, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3. They bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Verse 5, everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. So this bill doesn't reduce inflation, but even worse, it will do the opposite. Increase inflation. Just like all ungodly policies, they produce the opposite of the intent. They don't reduce poverty, they increase poverty. They don't reduce crime, they increase crime. They don't reduce inequity and racism, they increase inequity and racism. Because these policies are based upon wrong worldviews concerning man and sin and the source of law. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. The sinner thinks his sin and lawlessness will reap blessing, but it always reaps corruption. As the economist Milton Friedman said, and every other major economist, inflation is a monetary phenomenon. In other words, it happens because the government is printing and spending too much money, inflating the money supply. And that is the unjust measure spoken against in Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy 25, Proverbs 16, Proverbs 20, where there isn't an honest dollar. Politicians want to spend more money, but they don't want the unpopularity of raising taxes. So they print money to fund government programs, which secretly steals money from everyone by devaluating the dollar. And it's a great ruse that few people understand. The only way to reduce inflation is for the government to stop borrowing and spending And that's not what this bill is about. It's not at all about government spending reductions. This bill actually increases the federal debt. The government is already spending way more than it takes in tax dollars, and it's been doing this for years. The federal government borrows $1 trillion every year to cover expenses. In other words, we spend $1 trillion more than we can afford. But that's still not enough money for these politicians. They're being driven to borrow even more so they can hand out more money. And so we have an additional $1 trillion added to this year's budget. And you know, when the government borrows money, the Federal Reserve has to print that money to cover it. That increases the money supply. And that's why we get more inflation. Inflation this year is at 10%. So the only way to stop inflation is for the federal government to stop spending more than it takes in. And that would mean a 30% cut to government expenditures. And politicians are not about to do that. And so America is going to borrow its way into bankruptcy. These politicians just cannot stop spending. Isaiah 56:11, the dogs are greedy. They're not satisfied. They are shepherds, meaning they're civic leaders, who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the very last one. And the next verse, come, they say, let us get wine and let us drink heavily of strong drink. And tomorrow will be like today, only more so. Do you hear what they're saying there? Tomorrow will be like today, only more so, meaning everything will be fine in the future. We will manage. The nation will not be destroyed. Now, if you're turning to this program for the first time, you might be wondering, what is it with this pastor getting all political and railing against our elected leaders? Well, our nation has become corrupt, and this spending bill is just another evidence of corruption. All I'm doing is chronicling national corruption, and the American people need to be rebuked and warned concerning the disaster that's about to come upon the nation because of the foolish policies of these civic leaders. The New Testament church has the role of being the prophet to this age. And in Isaiah 58, God tells his people to cry aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgressions, which includes unjust, greedy public policy. So just to be complete, let me just quickly cover what's in this inflation bill. First, this is the Green New Deal, renamed the Inflation Reduction Bill. The global warming crisis ideology is worked into this bill. $27 billion will go toward a green bank that would provide more incentives for clean energy technology. $3 billion, that's $3,000 million, will go to environmental justice block grants. And we know what environmental justice is all about. It's groups that propagate the CRT oppression narrative, that pollution is racism. $3 billion will go to fund air pollution monitoring in low-income communities. I haven't figured that out. How does it cost $3,000 million to monitor pollution in the inner cities? You know, every time the government does something, it overcosts, and someone's pockets are being lined. Almost half of the entire inflation bill, $369 billion, will be spent on climate change programs. And I've yet to read anywhere where all of that money is going. The White House memo on the bill simply said it's going to hundreds of federal programs. John Kerry, who's supposed to be the U.S. climate czar, was recently exposed as wanting to keep the plans of his office secret. Earthjustice.org calls the Inflation Reduction Bill the biggest climate investment in history. Another aspect of the bill is funding the Affordable Care Act, what some people refer to as Obamacare. Medical insurance premiums are subsidized by the federal government. These subsidies were scheduled to expire at the end of this year. This inflation bill funds the program for another 3 years at the cost of about $70 billion. Then there's $80 billion given to the IRS to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. And the danger of that is a whole other God and Country program. But just the expense alone, do the math. That would pay the salaries of these new agents for about a year and a half. And Congress believes that these new auditors would eventually pay for themselves with all the new tax revenues they can bring in by catching tax cheaters. But think about this. 87,000 people have to be taken out of producing real wealth to become a layer of bureaucracy to collect taxes. The workforce in America is 160 million people. And the IRS plans to eventually employ 160,000 people. That's way too many people to collect taxes. Now, that wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for the fact that there were already 30 million other government employees, state, federal, and local, so that one out of every five employees works for the federal government. And we all know that's unsustainable. And that's why the government has to borrow 30 cents on every dollar to keep the government running. So the whole problem with this bill is this ideology of socialism, that what must be done through the government, that the government has to spend money and hire people to fix every perceived problem. President Calvin Coolidge, back in the 1920s, said, "It doesn't follow that just because something needs to be done, the government needs to do it." And that's how our American leaders used to think. But now, our secular leaders have an infatuation with government. Government is almost like God. And it's assumed in their political ideology and really their theology that new government programs are always the solution. That the government needs to grow bigger and bigger every year. And that's why they can't stop themselves from spending more and more money every year, money that we don't even have. Now, I don't want to get into this too much, but I hope you understand, economically, government is by nature wasteful. All government purchases are third-party purchases, where it's not the purchaser's money, and it's not the purchaser's product to buy. And that always results in high cost and low quality, and there's no way around that. Plus, as Ronald Reagan said, government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. So with big government, there is always the loss of freedom. And when you lose economic freedom, you lose all freedom. And also, big government results in a class of elites, a deep state that decides what the general will of the people should be. And the people who get to redistribute the wealth of others are elevated into positions of influence and power. He who controls the purse strings has the power. And evil is parasitic. It lives off of those who work by the sweat of their brow. Big government always ends up supporting a class of idle people who accomplish very little. They live not by producing goods and services that people will pay for, but live off of the power to tax others for their salaries. Karl Marx never worked a day in his life. He freeloaded off of society. The accountability that comes with the free market is what God has ordained to keep evil people from being empowered. And one way to stop evil is to cut off the source of funding. And that's what really scares the left about conservatives getting into power. The gravy train might stop. If the budget is balanced, there goes 30% of government employees. Realize this problem of a greedy bureaucratic class was what the Old Testament prophets spoke against continually. Ezekiel 34, the fat shepherds, the civic leaders who feed themselves and not the flock. Habakkuk chapter 2, woe to him who increases what's not his and makes himself rich with loans. Is that not what the politicians are doing in printing dollars in order to increase government wealth and power? So the first problem with this inflation bill is the greed that motivates it. Isaiah 56:11, the dogs are greedy, they're not satisfied. Jeremiah 6:13, from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And it's not just the politicians, but the American people who want the entitlements. Jeremiah 5:31, the leaders are corrupt and my people love it so. And if you want New Testament texts about this, the full condition of greed in the unsaved world, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, they practice every kind of impurity with greediness. Or 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, men will be lovers of money rather than lovers of God. People make a real mistake in thinking that the government is a charitable organization. It's not. It's also driven by greed and power. Now, there's been a lot of conservative punditry complaining about this inflation bill, but I find that the greed factor is an overlooked element. And I've also noticed there's not a word concerning why this is happening in America. Why our politicians are deluded into spending ourselves into economic collapse. The Bible explains why. This is God's judgment upon the nation. God's judgment is coming, but in a sense, God's judgment has already begun in giving us leaders who are destroying this country economically. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 16, "For behold, I'm going to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for the perishing, seek the scattered, heal the broken, or sustain the one standing, but will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hoofs." Or Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4, "I will make mere children their princes, and capricious children will rule over them, and my people will be oppressed." God judges a people with foolish leaders. As John Calvin writes in the Institutes of the Christian Religion, "Those magistrates who rule for the public good are true examples and specimens of God's beneficence, while those who domineer unjustly and tyrannically are raised up by God to punish the people for their iniquity." Remember King Rehoboam's folly? As a new king, he followed his advisors who told him to raise taxes upon the people. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 15, "And so the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turning of events from the Lord." Given the sins of Israel at that time, God knew it was necessary for Rehoboam to make this foolish decision, to punish the wicked people in Israel, and to ultimately protect the righteous by splitting the nation and thus disempowering the wicked. I also believe economic collapse eventually has to happen to America. With moral lawlessness, LGBTQ, transgenderism, pornography, adultery, there will also be economic lawlessness. You cannot have one without the other. If our leaders are not following God's word concerning sexual morality and gender, they're not going to follow God's word concerning economic accountability and responsibility. They will sell the store. They will hand out free cash. They will party until the money's gone. Isaiah chapter 8, "Then they will pass through the land hard-pressed and famished, and it will turn out when they're hungry. They will be enraged and curse their king and their God as they face upward." They're going to blame everybody else but themselves. "But then they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness." That could happen in the next 25 years, or in the next 10 years, or in the next 5 years. But regardless, the church needs to be warning these leaders that they will bring the judgment of God down upon this nation. They are God's ordained destroyers of this nation, and after they have finished destroying, they will be destroyed. Now, this economic policy of our elected leaders is so foolish, spending money like there's no tomorrow, that I'm sure you've heard all of those podcasters who are claiming that this is really a secret plot to bring down the American economy, to create a crisis to bring in communism. This is a Saul Alinsky strategy to bankrupt the country. That these leaders actually want to and actually know they're bankrupting the country. I don't believe that's true. Now, that might be the effect, but that's not the motive. Did the ancient king Rehoboam, in his economic folly, actually want to destroy his nation? No, he thought he was blessing the nation, but he didn't see the consequences of his sin and greed. And the scripture never explains the sins of the wicked kings of Israel as some sort of secret conspiracy to actually destroy the nation. The scriptures never explain it as if these kings were playing three-dimensional chess, where they actually wanted to lose wars in order to accomplish some ideological objective. As some conservative pundits today are saying that Biden is working with the WEF and Klaus Schwab and China to collapse the American economy, and saying Democrat politicians actually know that the global warming crisis is one big hoax, but they want to pass the Green New Deal to destroy the economies of Western nations. I don't buy that because that's not the pattern or the explanation we find in Scripture. I tend to believe conspiracy theories think this way because the disastrous result of leftist policies seem to be so obvious. I mean, who could be so stupid as to pass these spending bills? Well, King Rehoboam and King Manasseh and King Ahab weren't very smart either. I feel that to say it's a conspiracy is giving these ungodly leaders way too much credit. They are deluded. They actually believe that they're doing good. The left actually believes this inflation bill will save America. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12, they say, misfortune will not come upon us. We will not see the sword or famine. So this bill is not a conspiracy plot. It's a natural, inevitable consequence of people's faulty worldview and their lawlessness. And while they're praising this bill, they don't realize it's part of their judgment. So by way of conclusion, what are we to do? Well, there's not a whole lot we can do about it except to sit back and watch the slow economic train wreck, to watch it unfold over the next few years. It's going to happen. When a nation abandons God, God will remove people's common sense, their work ethic, their sustaining morality, because it's all on loan from God in the first place. It's God's common grace. And the outcome of the American experiment in the 20th century, this experiment of abandoning God and our laws and institutions, will result in national collapse. That testimony must be established. And we don't want God to bless a people economically who have abandoned his law. They have to sell a store. They have to go broke. They have to feed the swine, like the prodigal. Now, along the way, as the train wreck is happening, as God's ambassadors, we need to explain to the world the mistake they have made. And that's not just ranting against bad policy, but making the biblical points. That this is where you end up when you abandon God, that God is the source of all wisdom, and that God has raised up these foolish leaders to judge the nation. The judgment has already started. And this is really not about saving America. This is about personal salvation and turning to Christ and his kingdom for eternal life, because the world is passing away, but he who does the will of God lives forever. Make this inflation bill about those lessons. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition on YouTube and Rumble. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to discern the true meaning of world events and help us to point people to Christ through these events. In his name we pray, amen.